You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
All right, if you have your Bibles, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 9, we'll look at a very familiar verse tonight, Matthew chapter 9. What a joy to be back with you, and your hospitality has just been amazing. Your preacher has really been such an encouragement to me, and it's been a pleasure to have some time with him. Matthew chapter number 9, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verses that you've heard already several times, and verses that you hear normally in a mission conference. I think we'll swing it a little bit different, maybe toward the middle, toward the end. And so I pray the Lord to use it tonight. Matthew chapter number 9, if you're able to, if you don't mind, maybe we'll stand together as I read in Matthew chapter number 9, and we'll begin reading in verse number 35. Matthew chapter number 9, and if you would look with me at verse number 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them. I'm reminded of that great verse in Jude 22, and some having compassion, making a difference. The Bible says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. We heard of Denmark with no independent Baptist church in needing a pastor. And look at verse 37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Our Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the privilege to be here tonight. And God, thank you for a wonderful crowd that would be here for this mission conference. And God, I do pray and beg and plead that God, that you would help us. Father, we pray that you would meet with us tonight. And we're going to thank you and praise you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we do pray and ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. I appreciate your patience. It's going to really draw your attention actually to just one word found in verse number 37. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest. The harvest. I just want us to think about the harvest. You look the word up. The word harvest is the season of reaping and gathering in corn or other crops. The season of reaping and gathering in corn or other crops. When Jesus here speaks of, when he says the harvest is plenteous, you and I know that he's not talking about physical crops, but you and I understand that he is talking about reaching people. The harvest, he says the harvest truly is what? Is plenteous. So just really quickly, just a few thoughts in way of introduction. Number one, the harvest is plenteous. The harvest is plenteous. The word plenteous means abundance. It means full, adequate supply. As we mentioned last night briefly, we said over 8 billion people on the planet Earth. 8 billion. And probably nearly half of those have never really heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, the harvest is plenteous. May I say it this way? There are a lot of people that need to be reached. There's a lot of people in this area that need to be reached. There's a lot of people in my area that need to be reached. So number one, we find out, Jesus says, the harvest is truly is plenteous. Number two, the harvest is ripe. Go to John chapter number 4, the Gospel of John. Chapter number 4, this is not the message. This is kind of just the introduction about the harvest. Okay, we're going to be talking about the harvest. First of all, Jesus said it was what? Help me out. He said it was plenteous. And now we find in John chapter number 4, in John chapter 4, look at verse 35. Very familiar verses, I know. But it says, "Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest." Watch this. "Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are what? White or ready to harvest." So we see that the harvest is plenteous. Here in John chapter number 4, Jesus tells us that the harvest is ripe. You know, I believe this with all my heart. I believe there's always somebody out there that's ready to be saved. Around the world, I guarantee it, there's somebody ready to be saved. I think about in Acts chapter 8. You know, the eunuch was really, he was ready to be saved. He was there in the chariot. He was reading his Bible there, from Isaiah 53. And Philip is led by the Holy Spirit to speak to him. And he said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" So we see, you know, he was ready to get saved. And by the way, he got saved. And we see there in Luke 19 that Zacchaeus was ready to get saved. We see in Acts 16 that the jailer was ready to get saved. I believe there's always people out there that are just ready to be saved. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, as I've mentioned several times. And I can remember one night about 10 o'clock, 10:30 at night, me and a friend of mine was up out late. And I was probably around 14 years of age. And I can remember sitting against a pine tree about 10:30 at night, my back against a pine tree, a friend of mine sitting right there, his back against a pine tree. And I can remember looking up at the stars and saying this, "I wonder what a person has to do to go to heaven." I remember that a man in the church actually went and got a piece of the stump. The tree is not there, but the stumps there is, and selected it and put a little saying there. You know, what you got to do to go to heaven? Amen. Are you with me? I was ready to be saved. I just needed somebody to tell me how to be saved. Are you still with me so far? 2 weeks ago, we was doing a tent revival outside of Laurel. There's a little north of Hattiesburg. And this was so neat. Was out knocking doors every day. And this man came to the tent revival, and I greeted him and was talking to him. Said, "Man, we're so glad to have you." And he said, I came to get saved tonight. He said, I'm going to get saved. You know, when they come like that, it's not really hard to get them saved. I'm telling you the truth, that happened. And I wanted to, and I should have, because the rapture could have happened. You know, I should have went ahead and said, "Well, just let me take care of that right now." Yeah. I didn't, you know, I just waited and we preached. And by the way, he came right down the aisle and got saved. Yeah. Isn't that good? You know, what we think, well, you know, nobody out there wants to get saved. That is not true. Jesus said the harvest is ripe. It is white. There are people out there that are ready to get saved. They just need somebody to tell them. So I see the harvest is plenteous. Quickly, I see the harvest is ripe. Go to Jeremiah chapter 8 quickly tonight. The book of Jeremiah, just way of introduction. You still with me? And look at Jeremiah chapter number 8. Again, very familiar verses tonight. In Jeremiah chapter number 8, and look at verse number 20. I think of one of the saddest verses in all the Bible. And Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20. "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." Number one, the harvest is plenteous. The harvest is ripe, it's white unto harvest. And then thirdly, quickly, the harvest is ending. The harvest is ending. You know, for every individual that's living right now on planet Earth, for every individual that is alive right now, they will eventually die. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. When people are born, they only have so long to live. And none of us know how long we have to live. In the book of James, the Bible says it this way, in James chapter number 4, and in verse number 14, the Bible says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then what? Then vanish away." I was making a visit at the hospital. I was walking around, walking down the, come through the doors there, and I'm going down the hallway, and I decided I would go to like a little snack area there where they have vending machines, and I was going to get me some mint, so I went in there, and as I turned, I noticed two ladies kind of following me. When you're good looking like me, you got to be careful. She's got to be careful everywhere I go. But anyway, and so these two ladies followed me in there. And this lady, she spoke up to me and she said, "Pastor Carr, good to see you." She said, "You know, I came to your church a couple of weeks ago and I really enjoyed it. And I saw you and I wanted to introduce you to my friend." And so she introduced her. "Good to meet you." She said, "My friend is going to come with me this Sunday." And I said, "Wonderful." And looking forward to having it. It's probably about a minute conversation. And I went on my way and made my visit. That was, I think Tuesday. Saturday morning, my phone rang. And that lady that introduced me to her friend was weeping. And she said, "This is so-and-so. You remember, I saw you at the hospital. I introduced you to my friend. And I told you my friend was going to come tomorrow, Sunday." This was Saturday morning. "My friend was going to come and with me to church." She said, "Pastor Carr, she was killed last night. She was killed last night. She got hit by a train." And I just couldn't believe it. And I believe with all my heart she was coming. And I think she would have been there, and she had no idea, and I had no idea that would be the first time and the last time I would ever meet her. And now she's in eternity. The Bible says that life is like a vapor, that it appeared for a little while, and then it vanished away. Everybody we meet, we have no idea how long they had to live. We have no idea. So the harvest is ending for them, but watch this. The harvest is going to end for us. Jesus said it this way in John chapter number 9. And he said in verse number 4, he said, "Work, for the night cometh." When what? When no man can work. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't know all that what Jesus was talking about. But I do know this, that the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12, in verse 1, it said, "Remember the Creator in what? In the days of your youth." And man, we want to be busy about the Lord's business while we have the health. My assistant pastor's wife came to me one time. She said, "Preacher, you preach about sowing, and y'all get on that bus and y'all go out and y'all knock doors." And she said, "Me and my husband, he pastored for 23 years. He 21 years. He worked with me for 23 years. And she said, I wish I could do that. I would love to get on that bus." And she's crying and she's weeping. And she says, I just feel like, you know, I can't do anything no more. And she's up in her 80s now. She says, I said, "Yes, you can do something. Hey, when God is done with you, he will take you. But as long as you're living, he's got something for you to do." And I said, "Let me tell you what you can do. You can pray for us while we're out there." She says, "I can do that." Are you still with me? Hey, Christ is coming again, and we don't know when he's coming. You know, the Bible says we don't know the year, we don't know the month or the day or the hour, but here's what we do know. The Bible says, "Work, for the night cometh when no man can work." Hey, the Lord could come tonight. Yeah. Amen. And so we don't know, but we do know this. Here's what we do know, and you would agree. The harvest will end. Yeah. The harvest will end. We have only so long. Now, I'm getting closer to the message. Quickly, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Number four, the harvest has hindrances. Okay, did you hear what I said? Yep. The harvest has hindrances. We said the harvest is truly plenteous. We said the harvest is ripe. We said the harvest is ending. And now we've said the harvest has hindrances. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 16 and look at verse 9. "For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are what?" Help me out. There are many adversaries. And so we would all agree with that. And, you know, if you try to start a church or bus route and try to reach people and have a Sunday school class, there's going to be hindrances. I think of what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 18. He said, "We would have came unto you, but Satan hindered us." And by the way, Satan will try to hinder you as well. And so we know there's some hindrances. The devil will try to hinder us. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 11 quickly. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And then there's the storms. The storms of life, if we're not careful, will hinder us. And Ecclesiastes, watch this, chapter 11. And look at verse number 4. The Bible says, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. You know, all of us in this room, we all have storms and problems and heartaches, but you know, we cannot focus upon the storms of life. And if you're going to wait, sometimes people have this attitude that, you know, when I get everything settled and everything comes down and I don't have any more problems and everything is kind of resolved, and then I'm going to get busy for the Lord. We're going to always be having problems. There's never going to come that perfect day to serve the Lord. You must learn to serve the Lord in the midst of your trials. There's always going to be storms. There's always going to be problems. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. And so I'm talking about the hindrances. There's the devil, of course, and then there's the storms of life. But go back to Matthew chapter 9, and let me show you something really fast. And Matthew chapter number 9, and then number 3, there's the hindrance of the saints. Matthew chapter 9, he says, the harvest truly is what? Okay, I'm going to give you 2 points, and then we're going to get to the message. And it won't be long. It'll be brief, okay? But look at Matthew 9:37. The harvest truly is what? So we see, number one, there's the lack of the involvement. There's the lack of involvement. And I genuinely believe that this church is probably exceptional. But Dr. Lee Robertson said in the heyday of Highland Park Baptist Church. And somebody said to Dr. Lee Robinson, man, he had one time the largest church in the world, I believe 10,000. Just such a tremendous work. And they said to Dr. Robinson, it must be nice to have all of those workers and all of those people and serving the Lord. And Dr. Lee Robinson said, now hold on a minute. He said, I really, when you get right down to it, I probably have about 400 that's really holding all of this up. When you get really right down to it. And what I find, and even some of our better churches, you normally don't have everybody involved. Everybody's not coming to church faithfully. Everybody's not tithing. Everybody's not giving. Everybody's not plugged in. But may I say this, thank the Lord for those who are. Thank the Lord for those who are here with a great crowd on a Monday night for a mission conference. Thank the Lord for that. And I wish, and I'm a pastor, and I've pastored for years and years, and one of the heartbreaks of a pastor is you just wish that everybody, every single person would get involved. Now let me tell you about mission giving really quickly, just this right here. You know, really what we don't need, it'd be great if somebody would give maybe a whole lot of money all at one time, but if we could just get every member given a little, that would help. Just every member. I had a preacher friend there in Louisiana, and Brother White, he's in heaven now. He had a church of 200 or 300. I don't know what the biggest they ever ran, but I know it wasn't over 300. That church would give about 200,000 or 300,000 to missions. And I said, Brother White, what is the key there? You have one of the strongest mission churches in America, but you don't have a really big church. He said, what I emphasize is every member get involved. Every single member. To give. Are y'all still with me tonight? Yeah. And that still ain't the message, but we will get to it, okay? There's the lack of prayer. There's the lack of prayer. Look at it. So there's the lack of involvement. And then he said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Now, I preach out of this Bible. I have another Bible. I have a lot of Bibles that are identical. And the Bible that I use, I have a private prayer list. And then, of course, I have the church prayer list. But one thing that I pray for, and I have it written in this Bible, preacher, but this is not the one that I use. It's in my hotel room. But one thing that I pray for every day, it says right here, if you can see it, pray for laborers. Mm-hmm. Pray for laborers. Mm-hmm. And so I do, personally. I try to pray for laborers every single day. And I do that. And when I read Romans 6, I read it every day and done it for years and years and years. But pray for laborers. And so what we need some folks praying. Can I get a witness there? God, raise up some bus captains. And God, raise up some Sunday school teachers. And God, raise up somebody else to go start a church in Denmark and to Thailand and to the Philippines and to Africa. And God, raise up some missionaries. So there's the lack of involvement. There's a lack of prayer. But there's something else I think we're missing. when it comes to the harvest field of what's hindering us. And I think it might surprise you. But go to the book of Joel. The book of Joel, very quickly. The book of Joel, chapter 1. If you're still with me, give me an amen.
Amen.
Well, let's just stop and just think a minute. We're getting going really fast here, okay? So I'm preaching about the harvest, right? I'm preaching about the harvest. We said it's plenteous. We said that it's ripe. We said it's ending, but we said there's some hindrances. And so we know there's the devil, and we know there's sometimes the storms of life. And then there's the saints of God. There's a lack of involvement. There's a lack of prayer. But there's something else. Watch this. Look in Joel chapter 1, and here's the message. Look at verse 11. Be ye ashamed, O you husbandmen, how you, O you vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. The vine is dried up, the fig tree languisheth, the pomegranate tree and the palm tree also, the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered. Why? Because joy is withered away from the sons of men. I introduce to you tonight this thought. I believe one of the hindrances to the harvest field is the lack of joy among God's people. He said here, why had they, he said the harvest, the field is perished. And then you keep reading, he says, because joy is withered away from the sons of man. Now follow me carefully. The devil, once you get saved, he cannot get your salvation. He cannot get it. I believe in the security of the believer. I believe once you're in, you're in. There was eight that got in the ark and nobody fell out. Can I get a witness there? Man, when your name is written down in heaven, man, there is no eraser. It can never be erased. But the devil's been at this for 6,000 years. And just listen to me real quickly. The devil cannot get your salvation, but he can get the joy of your salvation. And I believe when he gets the joy of our salvation, if we're not careful, he's going to get somebody else's salvation. Now you're going to have to soak on that for a while, okay? In John 15, listen to what Jesus said. In John chapter 15, he says, these things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. You know what I sense? Maybe not as much here because of your church is exceptional. But you know what I sense among so many of God's people? There's just not a lot of joyful people. It's just like somehow there's this spirit of beat down, discouraged, distressed, ready to throw in the towel. And there's this spirit that has swept our nation among our independent Baptists. It's like we don't have anything to be joyful about. We've got a lot to be joyful about. Everybody in this room is carrying burdens. Everybody in this room is having a heartache. Everybody in this room is having trials. If we're not careful, the devil will take our joy. He cannot get our salvation. And when we begin to lose our joy, it's going to affect our focus on reaching others. Can I just be right down with you tonight? You're not getting mad at me? We can come in a conference like this, And I'm glad you're here. I really am. But if we're not careful, we're just kind of go through the mechanics because our heart is not really in reaching folks because there's so much going on in our lives that we've lost our joy. And man, we need our joy. There are 66 books in your Bible, and each book has a theme. And, you know, we have a Bible college represented here. I can't go through all the 66 books, but, you know, Romans is justification by faith. And Proverbs is about wisdom, and Psalms is about praise, and Revelation is about the end of time, and Genesis tells us about the beginning, and Exodus about the Hebrews being delivered, and Leviticus with the offerings. And, man, you could go all the way through the Bible. Every book has its theme. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is about the the life of Jesus Christ. Acts about the Acts of the Apostle. You can just go all the way through. Do you realize there is a book in your Bible? It is called the Book of Philippians. And the theme of that book is rejoice in the Lord. And I say rejoice in the Lord. If God would give us 66 books, and one of those books would be about joy and rejoicing, it's pretty important. And I am telling you tonight, my friend, the devil, if we're not careful, we're going to let him have our joy. So here's the sermon. You ready for it? Let me give you some things that will help you to keep your joy. Number one, you must have the assurance of your salvation. You must have the assurance of your salvation. And in Luke chapter 10, listen to this. Jesus said, notwithstanding this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Have you ever just sit around and it just dawns on you? Maybe I'm the only weird one here tonight. But every now and then, it would just, I can't explain it. It like it would just hit me. I am saved. I'm going to go to heaven. It is settled forever and ever and ever. I mean, I am really, genuinely on my way. You know, if you're saved tonight, you're on your way. What joy when we realize when we have, that's why the devil wants to get people into doubt. Because and some people live a life of, I think I'm saved, maybe I'm saved, yeah, I got this, and they lose it, and you know, and all of that, and they just don't have that assurance. You're never going to see somebody who's doubting their salvation on and off really have the joy. You got to know that you know. Are you with me tonight? And so you must have that assurance of your salvation. Number two, you must deal with sin in your life. You say, preacher, this is a mission conference. Didn't our pastor tell you? Oh, yeah, I'm preaching about the harvest. And I'm saying the harvest is perishing because joy has withered away from God's people, and the devil knows exactly what he's doing. It affects, when you lose your joy, it will begin to affect everything about your life. You must deal with sin. We all know the story of David and Bathsheba and that great verse where David prays and says, Lord, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. The Bible says in Psalm 16 and 11, and in God's presence is what? Fullness of joy. Sin breaks your fellowship with God. It doesn't affect your relationship when you get saved. Sin won't mess up with the relationship. My mom was always my mom. Now, you know, I could go out and do whatever, and she may be disappointed in me, but she was still my mom. When you get born in God's family, you're a God's child. But when you sin as a child of God, you lose the fellowship. And then when you lose your fellowship, you lose your joy. You ever seen somebody that was away from God, and they come and get right with God, and then there's tears of joy. Tears of joy. Some of us tonight, got some things going on in our lives that we need to get right with God. Number three, then there's the lack of praise. Go to Isaiah chapter 61. Let me show you this really fast. We're about finished. Look at Isaiah chapter number 61. I want you to see this really encouraging verse. Look at Isaiah chapter 61. So let's stop and think about what are we preaching about? He says, joy is withered away. That's why the harvest is perished. For tonight, we need to get our joy back. Jesus said, I spoke these things unto you that your joy may be what? Can I ask you a personal question just really fast? Are you running on empty tonight? You have about a quarter tank, about a half a tank, maybe three quarters. Jesus said that your joy may be what? May be full. I believe this will affect our giving. This will affect our service. Boy, when we have that joy of the Lord. Look with me at Isaiah chapter 61 quickly tonight. Watch this, verse 3. I love this thought. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise. The garment of praise for what? The spirit of heaviness. There's such a spirit of heaviness among God's people today. And a lot of it's because there's just so much going on and heartache and problems. And there's like this spirit of heaviness. Can I help you? The antidote for the spirit of heaviness is the garment of praise. I believe your preacher is very wise when the way he does the music here and tries to get people into the praise the Lord. When we begin to praise the Lord, that spirit of heaviness begins to be lifted off. So what if I'm saying, what will help you with your joy? We got to find some things to praise the Lord about. And there's plenty to praise him about. Can I get a witness there? And then we must be filled with the Spirit of God. We must be filled with the Spirit of God. Why? Because the fruit of the Spirit is love. Watch this. Love, number two, joy. Me and your pastor talked about this a little bit, and I think I shared some of this in the pastor's conference. But when I surrendered to preach, I wish I would have went to Bible college, and it just didn't work all that way for me. I wish I could have came here. And just stayed, all right? But that wasn't God's plan. And I surrendered Sunday morning, and my pastor said, "That's great, you surrendered. You can preach tonight." I'm like, "You got to be kidding me." And I preached my first sermon that night. It said, wonderful. The church voted 100% and sent me to become the pastor of a mission church. I'm thinking, what were they thinking? And so I was desperate, and I'm trying to grow and learn, and I don't know a clue of what I'm doing. But I knew one of the great secrets of preaching and serving God was not in me, but it was in a power that's beyond me. And God had given me that, and he gives that to every believer. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is, watch this, which is in you. If you are saved tonight, you have the Holy Spirit. You have him. And I got just as much of the Holy Spirit as D.L. Moody had, or Billy Sunday had, or any other preacher had. Because when I got saved, I didn't get part of the Holy Spirit. I got all the Holy Spirit. There's not an arm sticking out over here and a leg. No, the Holy Spirit dwells inside of my body. And if you're saved, he's inside of your body. And so this was complicated for me. I was struggling with this. So they have this, you know, preachers preach and these question and answer. And I'm a young preacher, and they're like, anybody's got a question? I called the preacher. Nearly everybody in the room would know who he is. And I said, I have a question. Well, could you explain this thing about being filled with the Holy Spirit? And he looked at me and he said this. He said, young man, he said, when I got saved, I got all the Holy Spirit. He said, but the Holy Spirit doesn't always have all of me. That was it. I got it then. I said, that's my problem. I got to let him have all of me. No, you got all the Holy Spirit. The problem is he don't have all of us. Until he gets all of us, my friend, we're never going to have the joy that's available for us. See, we're trying to keep part of our life. We're hearing about missionaries going to Denmark or Thailand and all these places. My friend, we got to be positioned so God can call us if he wants to. Go to Psalms 85. Go to Psalms 85. I got this, and then I got one illustration. I'm finished. Psalms 85, quickly. Psalms 85. You know what we need in America? You know the real hope for America is we need revival. And watch this thought, watch this. It says this in Psalms 85, wilt thou not what? Revive us again that thy people may what? Rejoice in thee. When, you know, some of us tonight may not need a mission conference necessarily right now. What you may need is revival in your heart. And when we have revival, you know what? We're going to begin to rejoice. This thought that I preached from tonight wasn't totally original for me. I had Brother Carl Hatch preach for me twice. And Brother Hatch was preaching, and he used the verse I quoted a while ago. I didn't give you the second part of it. But he was talking about sowing. And that's about the harvest and reaching people. And then he gave this verse, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." And then he read the next verse. "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." When we get the joy of our salvation, we're going to become interested in the harvest. And so we're thinking mission conference, yes. But when it's not going to work the way it needs to work until we get our joy back. And then when we get our joy back, and then sinners are going to be converted. That's why when you have a revival, revival is not for the lost, it's for the saved. And when the saved get their joy and they're bubbling over with joy, it affects everybody around them. And then sinners begin to get saved. Can I say lastly, there's the reward of the harvest. I talked about the hindrance, and that's where I spent my sermon tonight. But there's the reward. I worked for the city of Gulfport many years ago. And we was on a job, and this particular man came out to fix our tractor. Had broken down. He was a mechanic, him and another guy. And me and a co-worker began to witness to those two guys. And one of those guys laughed. He said, "Now, you better leave John alone. Now, you can talk to me about the Lord, but John is going to let you have it if you don't be quiet." Well, we didn't listen. We kept witnessing to John. And John began to curse like I had never heard in my life. He told me what I could do with the Bible. It was unbelievable what he said. And the guy looked at me and said, "I tried to tell y'all, leave John alone." Man, he cursed. Oh, he cursed me out. Several years went by. I had went full-time pastoring the church. And one of the co-workers came to me, was actually a member of my church, and said, "Have you heard about John?" I said, "No, I hadn't heard about John. What about him?" It was John L. He said, "John L. has brain cancer. He's in the hospital. He's dying. They gave him 3 months to live." He said, "Brother Card, would you go see John L.?" I'm like, "Are you serious?" The last time I tried to talk to John L., he cursed me like you've never heard in my life. So I went to the hospital, Memorial Hospital, went to the third floor, got off the elevator, took a left, went down, took a right. About the fourth, I've been in this hospital a lot, trust me. About the fourth door down to the left. So I go down there, the door is wide open. I go to knock and I look, and he's sitting on the couch. He's not in the bed, he's sitting on the couch. And I kind of looked around the door like this, and I went to knock. He said, "Dan, come on in." I like, "Shh, that's good. That's progress." So I go in, and he's sitting on the couch, and I sit by John. And we're sitting there talking. And I said, "John, man, I hate to hear about your cancer." And he said, "Yeah, they gave me 3 months to live." And I said, "John, I'm so sorry." I said, "John, if you died, you know, where are you going to go, John?" He said, "Dan, you know where I'm going to go. I'm going to go straight to hell." I said, "John, is that where you want to go?" He said, "No, I don't want to go to hell." I said, "John, could I take the Bible and show you how to be saved?" He said, "Sure, go ahead." So I took out my New Testament. You know, the... And I went through the plan of salvation, and John bowed his head and accepted Christ. Amen. Could you mind, could I borrow you? When he got saved, John stood up, and he did this. He put his hands on me like this. He said, "I'm fixing to do something to you I've never did to another man." And I thought, "Lord, I'm coming home." I'll never forget it as long as I live. He did this, and he hugged me. Tears running down his face, and he did this real fast. And he looked at me, and he said, "Dan, I love you." You know, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. Mm-hmm. Boy, as soon as John got saved, a whole different man. Can I get a witness?
Yep.
You say, you think you got it? I went to Papua New Guinea. I came back, rushed to the hospital. As soon as the plane landed, they picked me up. I got home, I told my wife I'm going to the hospital, ran to the hospital. I didn't even take the elevator. I ran up the stairs, the third floor, ran in his room. He was in a coma. He died a few days later. preached his service, had the graveside all finished, done. I'm walking to my car. I hear somebody say, "Preacher, preacher." I stop. This guy comes up to me. He says, "Look," he said, "I grew up with John. I knew John my whole life. What did you do to him?" I said, "I didn't do anything to John. It was Jesus." He said, "He was a changed man before he died. I will take that above the whole world. I will take that above the whole world. John is in heaven, and one day I'm going to see him again. That is the reward of the harvest." Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. The harvest is plenteous. The harvest is ripe. The harvest is ending. But how about your joy tonight? How about your joy tonight? I wonder who would say, let's just cut right through the chase. I wonder who would say, "Preacher, I tell you, I haven't been full of joy lately." Could you raise that hand? Come on now. Look, hands all over the building tonight. Come on. "Preacher, I got about a quarter of joy tonight. I got about a half a tank tonight." Well, why don't we just get up and come right now? Let's just come right now. Come right now. What's taking your joy? What's taking your joy? What's hindering your joy? Our Father, I pray tonight. I know we're living in some very difficult times. But Lord, you've given us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lord, we read in the book of Acts, the disciples are being beaten, all kind of things going on in their lives, and they are rejoicing that they was considered to be worthy to be beat for you. Father, help us tonight. There's some that's lost their joy. They ain't lost their salvation, but they've lost the joy of their salvation. And God, they're not really interested in the harvest field and the bus routes and the mission slides. God, help us tonight to leave here with fullness of joy. I believe that'll help the harvest field. I believe it with all my heart. Pray you do a work tonight. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.